Welcome, Patty.
Bev, I'm delighted to be with you.
That's great. Well, you're known as the change agent. What really attracts you about working with people during change, and how in the world does that relate to forgiveness?
Well, I love working with people in change because, like you, I've also had to deal with change and a lack of forgiveness in my life, and I've learned the hard way. So my goal really is to help individuals move forward in change. And I really came to understand the whole issue of forgiveness and change because I was working with a steel company for over a year. And when I have people complete questionnaires prior to my programs, I began noticing a trend. And that is people kept on mentioning the hardest changes for them were things that happened way in the past, not just a recent change, but things like a union negotiation and how management treated them unfairly, or fairly common would be a specific leader who overlooked them for a certain promotion. And what I really have come to believe is that it's impossible to accept change and therefore focus on the future, or even live in the present for that fact, if you're focused on the past and how people have wronged or injured you in the past.
Well, so you're saying that people hang on to things for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
And that it pulls them backward.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I find that that really impacts work because, like you, people do hold grudges, and I find they take revenge.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if someone asks you that has wronged you in the past or embarrassed you in a meeting, as an example, and they ask you then for information, all you remember is how they embarrassed you in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So you may just take your time in getting that information to them.
Kind of dig your heels into the sand.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Well, and I find it's not real outward in most organizations.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you go slit tires or something.
Right.
That would be way too obvious. No, it's much more subtle than that. And in the end run, the customer will really suffer because we just slow the process down, and it's not enough to be real obvious to the person. And unfortunately, we tend to not be gutsy enough to go and confront that person with how they made us feel during that meeting and then fix the relationship or at least address the issue and move forward.
Mm-hmm. So I think also that, you know, because we're not slitting tires or doing something overt, we can also tell ourselves, well, there's no problem here. I'm much too nice a person to go and do something like that. But as a result, there may be an impact on us as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. The real impact for us is that when we don't forgive someone and move on and it results in revenge, eventually we become very bitter about it. And I really believe that bitterness is like a match. It only burns the one that's holding on to it.
Mm.
And I find that personally we begin to suffer. And, for example, if it's a supervisor or one of your bosses that has really embarrassed or overlooked you for a promotion, as an example, and you're really angry about that, what typically happens is we begin not only to treat that boss differently, but we then attach that to all bosses that we have any relationship with and say they must all be this way.
Yeah.
And as a result, it impacts our total work. Initially, it's just that initial person that we probably have the problem with, but we spread it out, unfortunately, and it starts burning the whole forest down, and we don't even realize that that's the initial impact.
I love that match analogy. And I think also it can even spread beyond work. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And what I really find in issues of forgiveness and change is that people really begin feeling the pain, and what I have noticed is that typically I see people acting like cats. It's not forgiveness, it's change. And I use the analogy, if people were like dogs in an organization that's going through change, you know, they'd bark and they'd let you know exactly how they feel. But cats are very subtle. You know, they're hurt, and if they get in a cat fight days later, you look and say, hey, you know, I think Muffy was in a cat fight. Sure enough. But what we do is we keep to ourselves and lick our wounds. And I love it when people will say, you know, boy, your department, I just understand part of it got outsourced. You know, how are you feeling about that? I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot that's said behind the word fine. And it really is that we're reacting to our pain, but we don't know how to talk about it. So therefore, we got to pretend that everything's okay. And the same thing in a meeting. If someone has just slammed you, somebody inevitably afterwards will say, boy, I couldn't believe that Joanne said that to you in the meeting. How are you feeling? I'm fine. But we're really not fine. And unfortunately,
right,
when we stuff that, I always tell people that when you act like a cat all day, you're going to be a cat at night when you go home and not even realize that you're doing it to your family,
right?
Because it's now an instinctive reaction, and you do it even with the people that you love.
Yeah, we're talking about habits that you form when this happens over and over.
Sure.
And I think there's also some really good evidence that bitterness and just holding that in your heart can literally affect your heart and other organs of your body. There's really a health connection.
Absolutely. That stress that can cause, I mean, certainly there are a lot of different statistics that I've seen, but certainly a large percentage of illness and even cancer and some pretty terrible diseases can be linked, not always, but sometimes directly to the stress in our lives, and I think oftentimes to a lack of forgiveness and bitterness.
Do you think that some people are blind to how this is affecting them and how it's coming out? What do you see as you work with organizations in that area?
Absolutely. I think they're absolutely blind to it. You know, and when I work with organizations, I can see the light bulbs go on, particularly when I do the whole cat thing. Because, again, another reaction is that we tend to whine and manipulate to each other, not to the person who can make a difference, such
mm-hmm.
as our boss, not to the person who made the change itself. But you and I will go out to lunch and we'll go, can you believe they made this decision? And then they did this. And rah, 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 rah. And then we come back to work and, man, we're in a foul mood and morale really stinks at that point. But we don't notice it because it seems everybody's doing that
mm-hmm.
because we've selected the people who will listen to us whine rather than noticing that some people have moved on. And I truly believe in organizational change in particular is that you have to feel the pain before you can heal it. So I do believe no pain, no gain. And when you stuff it and say, no, I'm fine, you never realize the impact and the kind of grief you have to go through for saying, I am really sad that we outsourced. I'm really sad that I lost some of my office mates because we downsized or we reorganized. And I think you need to recognize there's a process to go through and be okay with that before you can move on.
All right, but we don't like to feel that kind of pain.
No, we want to cover it with a Band-Aid and pretend it will go away. And I think oftentimes when we don't really clean that out, you know, similar to you just, you know, a child scraped his or her knee on the sidewalk, you've got to clean it. You can't just put medicine on it and a bandage over it. It's going to just heal itself. You have to clean it out and really discover what the problem is and
mm-hmm.
why you're feeling that sense of pain and loss.
Right.